God's peace is always yours in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hear the word of God from Matthew 14. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the village and buy food for themselves." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish." Jesus said, "Bring them to me." Then he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people, and they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, bread is the food of affliction. It's Genesis 3 food, after the fall into sin. Before the fall, Adam and Eve ate fruits and nuts. Nothing had to die for man to live. But after sin, after Adam and Eve reached out their hands to take a food that was not given to them and blessed by God, as they took the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, after that, mankind now had to live off of the bread of affliction. Genesis 3, "By the sweat of your brow you will eat your bread, until you return to the ground, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." It's never safe to live against Jesus. Ever since man's fall into sin, God is now giving us life in and through death. The death of plants, the death of animals, and finally and most importantly, through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. Bread has always meant food, sustenance, one of the staples of life in a broken world. The Israelites ate manna in the wilderness, and they lived. And yet, that bread, that manna that they ate in the wilderness on the way to the promised land, wasn't powerful enough to give them life after death. Jesus said in John 6, "Your forefathers ate manna in the wilderness, and yet they died. But here is the bread which a person may eat and never die. I am the bread of life, which came down from heaven, which a person may eat and never die." The fact that Jesus teaches us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," shows us that our daily bread, our physical needs, are not unimportant to him. However, God does not simply give us our daily bread because he's concerned about our cholesterol or he wants to hone his chef skills. No, he gives us his daily bread in order to preserve and protect our lives so that he can then save our lives through faith in Jesus for all eternity. So what's our problem? Our problem is we're often more concerned about our daily loaf of Wonder Bread than we are about the bread of life which a person may eat and not die. Our sin is that we often say to ourselves, "Well, first I need to get my bank account in order, my work done, put food on the table, a new car in the garage, a new TV, a new game system, a new house, a new wardrobe, and then I'll have time for Jesus and to be fed by him." That's deadly. That's the upside-down way of doing things, and it's the way of little faith. It's majoring in the minors and minoring in the majors. Years ago, when the late John Rockefeller died, one of the news reporters asked his accountant, "So how much did Mr. Rockefeller leave behind?" And his accountant said, "All of it." To want our daily bread without Jesus is sinful, deadly materialism. We make our bread baskets more important than the bread of heaven, which a person may eat and never die. One of the greatest disappointments I face as a pastor is seeing parents raising kids who are fat on the things of this world, but are actually skinny, starving Christians. because the parents are putting their children on a self-imposed or parent-imposed diet of God's Word. Well, we don't want to go to church too often, or we might actually believe it. Wouldn't want that to happen, would we? And I want to be very honest. Most of the time, the fault lies with the dads. If the dads, who the Lord has called to be the spiritual leader of the family, would be the spiritual leader and insist, our family is going to go to worship on Sundays, 99% of the time, the moms and kids will follow. I have great empathy for the moms who bring their kids to worship alone while the dads are out playing. In our gospel lesson, we're told, a great multitude followed Jesus. In the Greek, it literally says they chased after him. Wouldn't that be nice if all of our members and all people were chasing after Jesus to get life? Because they saw the signs he performed on those who were diseased. And John 6 adds, they followed him because they ate the loaves and had their fill. In other words, you can also follow Jesus for the wrong reasons. Many were chasing after Jesus simply because they wanted their stomachs filled, their pockets lined, their diseases healed, and their houses stuffed. But Jesus has come to give us more than we're asking for and much more than we deserve. Talk about wonder bread. Jesus said in John 6, I am the bread from heaven which a person may eat and never die. Our sin is that we treat this bread of life, Jesus, as he comes to us in his word and sacraments, as if it's just a plain old, ordinary, crusty, day-old, reduced-price bread that's here today and stale tomorrow. We treat the bread of life like the bread the waiter tosses on the table as an excuse to eat butter, to keep you busy while you're studying the menu. We treat the bread of life as if he's no more important to us than a sesame seed envelope for two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. In other words, we treat Jesus as nothing all that spectacular, nothing all that important, even though he promises whoever eats this bread will never die. But Pastor, we're just so busy, and Sundays are our only time to sleep in and relax. Perhaps the solution is to alter your schedules and diet. And rather than eliminating the bread of life, which a person can eat and never die, reduce the fat intake of some of the other delicacies that are clogging your hearts and choking out Jesus. Parents, if you always make sure that your children are doing everything at school, everything in sports, everything in the community, but you have no time for Jesus, you're actually putting them on a junk food diet spiritually. And if all those other things in their lives manage to cut off the blood supply of Jesus' forgiving blood that cleanses our sinful hearts, spiritually they'll die of heart failure, just like a person who physically lives on junk food runs the risk of dying of a stroke or a heart attack. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Our text says, as evening approached, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, this is a remote place and it's getting late. Send the crowds away to the villages and let them get some food. Jesus said, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. They said, but we only got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. The disciples knew the sensible thing to do, send the people to the local eateries. But Jesus, for whom nothing is impossible, is not restricted by the sensible thing to do. He says, you give them something to eat. You can almost imagine the disciples thinking, let's see. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish divided by 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Why, they won't even get to lick the fish. But again, Jesus, for whom nothing is impossible, is going to use their need for bread to give them the bread of life, himself. Jesus invites these sheep without a shepherd to sit down on the grass. Does that sound familiar? He makes me lie down in green pastures. They're also sitting next to the sea. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So get ready, because you know what's coming. He restoreth my soul. They answer, but we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Sounds a lot like voters' meetings, doesn't it? Those kinds of words are often the ways of little faith when it comes to Jesus. Jesus said, bring them to me. Then taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to the disciples. Sounds like the Lord's Supper. We're getting there. The disciples gave the food to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces. And the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So we probably fed around 20,000 people. I want everyone to see something here. According to John, it was a little boy who gave Jesus the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It was probably that little boy's sack lunch. If we will but render our gifts to Jesus like that little boy did, look how Jesus can explode our gifts, whatever they are, to feed the world not only with bread, but with the bread of life, Jesus Christ. And the Lord will bless us too as we render our gifts. Can you imagine how God could explode your gifts to bless our preschool, to bless our church and our Sunday school? So that we, as a congregation, can reach out to the starving and the hungry spiritually. Can you imagine how God could explode your gifts and mine to help out with all the missions that we support through Trinity Lutheran? Just check out trinitydecatur.com and you'll see our missions. Can you imagine how this miracle must have touched that little boy's life? I let Jesus use my sack lunch, and he fed over 20,000 people, Mommy and Daddy. Now I know that Jesus is the bread from heaven we've been looking for. He may have never known that if he refused to let Jesus use his sack lunch. How about you? Why did Jesus do this miracle? So people would never be hungry? No. Because he's a health food nut? No. Because he didn't want him going to Long John Silver's? No. Jesus wanted this light to shine in their hearts. Wait a minute. Green pastures, still waters, food where there was none, setting a table before us, all of us satisfied and restored, our family sitting around Jesus eating bread, just like our forefathers sat around the tabernacle where God was eating manna. He's the Messiah, the Shepherd of Israel, the bread of life is here, the one we've been waiting and longing for. In Joshua 5, we're told when the Israelites entered the Promised Land and started eating the food of the Promised Land, that the manna from heaven stopped. Now, we don't know exactly where they got this, but the faithful rabbis believed that when the Messiah came, he would start pouring out bread from heaven again. As Jesus multiplies the bread and the fishes, he's all but shouting to the people who are stuck on their stomachs, "Don't you see? The Savior of the world is here for you, and whoever partakes of me will never die." As he said in John 6, your forefathers ate manna in the desert, but they died. But here is the bread of life which a person may eat and never die. I am the bread of life which came down from heaven, which a person may eat and never die. Just as Jesus exploded that little boy's sack lunch and fed all the people at the cross, the loaf of Jesus' body was baked in the oven of God's wrath and broken to pieces. And his crucified body is enough to feed the whole world of starving sinners with forgiveness. There's enough Jesus for you too. Just as those disciples said that Jesus can't take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feed enough, have enough for 20,000 people, but he did it. Be careful that you don't tell Jesus he can't take bread and wine and explode it into his body and blood and feed the whole world with forgiveness in the Lord's Supper. If you do, you're making your brain bigger than the Bible, and Jesus will prove you wrong every time. In fact, it wasn't long after this miracle that Jesus did take more bread and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and drink. this cup is my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. It too is a miraculous meal. Don't believe in one miracle and then try to deny the other. But in this miraculous meal, he is restoring our souls with the medicine of immortality. This is the bread, Jesus says, that a person may eat and never die. In the Lord's Supper, Jesus is feeding the 5,000 again in an infinitely greater way. Right before we go to communion, we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." And God's altar becomes a dinner table for the baptized believers who are repentant of their sins and hungering for forgiveness. And no matter how hungry you may be physically, at this table, Jesus restores our souls. In closing, this bread of life, Jesus Christ, unlike your daily slice of Wonder Bread, which is here today and stale tomorrow, Jesus, the bread of life, comes with an unconditional guarantee to the eater, "And I will raise you up on the last day." This bread of life gives what no other bread can give, a way to die and not stay dead, a way out of your grave. How can we be so sure? Because this living loaf, this true wonder bread, checked back out of his grave alive on Easter morning. And in the Lord's Supper, we take this risen bread of life, who cannot die again, into ourselves. This bread of life, Jesus, is so incredibly good that he says, "Whoever eats this bread will live forever." We should be camped outside the church doors on Sunday morning, waiting for the nutrient-rich meal of forgiveness. We should be using our sack lunches, whatever they may be, to make sure that this bread of life gets to people everywhere. We should be inviting friends even more than we would to Red Lobster or Olive Garden, for every other food we eat becomes a part of our dying flesh and goes with us to the grave. But in this meal, the bread of life, Jesus, goes into us and makes our dying flesh a part of his living body so that we get out of our graves alive. The bottom line is this, folks. If you fill up your life with the desserts of this world, you'll have no room or desire for the bread of life. Who wants bread after they've eaten dessert? And while it is true that there are no statistics to show that those who commune frequently live longer or healthier physically, for that you might want to try vitamin C. Nevertheless, the bread of life, Christ's flesh and blood, do alter the outcome of our death. Jesus said, "Here is the bread of life which a person may eat and never die." The ancient church called the Lord's Supper the antidote by which we die not. In this miraculous meal, we are taken into ourselves and becoming one with him who swallowed up death forever. That is why the early Christians said that in this supper we receive the medicine of immortality and the sacred remedy by which we conquer death and live in Christ forever. So reprioritize your diet and taste and see that the Lord is good.